Seriously, there is not an unlimited amount of love in the world. It's rare.
TGIF, it's Manson Mitchell with Gary Manson, Suzanne Mitchell. A double shot of good conversation with great guests to jumpstart your weekend. Manson Mitchell, you're on the air.
Thank you, Eric Kramer. Hi, everybody. TGIF indeed. I'm Gary Manson.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
Together, we are Manson Mitchell in your ears for the hour. And once again, of a Friday, we get to work with bad boy Benny Mathers at the board. He is our producer. Benny, a joy to see you once again.
Oh, right back at you. Oh, that was very nice of you, Gary.
How's your week been?
Not too bad. A little slow, but we're picking things up because, you know, it's the weekend. So we got to throw things, you know, get things going.
And the weather?
Meh.
50s. Meh.
Meh. Meh weather? Okay.
It's spring.
All right.
Meh.
Summer's coming.
Thank
spring
you.
Spring is coming.
Yes.
Then summer is coming. Hang in there, everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. Last year in June, I read a book by the gentleman we're going to talk to today. It was the first book in a series, and he was kind enough to send all three.
Mm-hmm.
And we skipped the second book. We're going right to the third book today. And I think this is going to be a fun interview and a lot of deep stuff. We have a very, very metaphysical crowd. And I think our crowd is going to like what we have to offer today.
You know, I totally agree. I think Robert Schwartz is an extraordinary man who lives a life that is conscious and conscientious at the same time. He has a lot to say, and it all sounds good to me. I'm sure our listeners will agree. How about you give him his mad props?
His mad props are a little bit longer because it's really going to set the stage for our interview today. And it's going to give you a good background on the off chance that you did not hear our interview last June. This will bring you right up to speed. In his groundbreaking first book, Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real Meaning of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born, Robert Schwartz brought the concept of pre-birth planning into the mainstream. In his second book, Your Soul's Gift, The Healing Power of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born, he dove even deeper by examining the pre-birth planning of other common life challenges. Now in his third book, Your Soul's Love, the one we're going to talk about today, he explores the pre-birth planning of challenges related to romantic relationships or their absence, infidelity, impotence, raising children alone after the death of one's partner, being single, and celibate relationships. Working again with several gifted mediums and channels, and this time incorporating the Between Lives Soul Regression, he does as a skilled hypnotist. Schwartz brings forth great wisdom and love from the other side to explain why we plan such experiences before we are born. This is his second visit with us. We're talking about your soul's love, living the love you planned before you were born. Welcome to Manson Mitchell for the second time, Robert Schwartz. We're happy to have you today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back. I loved talking with you, and I'm a pleasure to be here.
Good. Last month, we were celebrating Valentine's Day, or as one gentleman put it, Singles Awareness Day.
That was it. Starbucks barista.
It was. The lessons presented, whether in a love relationship or not, we have heard so often from people on our show that we must love ourselves. And it's interesting, by the examples in the book of various soul plans, you actually demonstrate the truth of that cliched statement, that worn out trope of you must love yourself first, but you really show why that is so. I was surprised by the approach to love when you're talking about infidelity and impotence and celibacy and things like that. How did you put together, discover the dichotomy between the spiritual evolution and the challenges of romantic relationships. How did you marry those two together?
So I should explain here to those in your audience who may not be familiar with my work. What I do in Your Soul's Love and the first two books as well, as you mentioned, I work with mediums and channels who in one way or another can find out what someone planned for this incarnation before they came into body. And I also incorporate the form of hypnosis I practice, which is called a between life soul regression, or BLSR for short. Some of your listeners are probably familiar with the name Michael Newton. He's a hypnotist who back in the 1990s pioneered the field of between lives regression. Now, he called it an LBL or a life between lives regression, but that's the same thing as what I call a between lives soul regression. And whether working with the mediums and channels or working privately with somebody in that kind of regression, we were able to bring through from spirit channeled information that explains why someone planned a particular challenge. So in the books, I go through these challenges one by one by one. And in the channeling sessions, we ask, did this person plan this experience before he or she was born? And if so, why? So the intention here is to give deeper meaning and purpose to experiences that to many people seem to be pointless, arbitrary, meaningless suffering. And when you know what the underlying lessons are, then you can go about learning them in a much more conscious and much less painful manner. So that's essentially what I'm doing here in these books.
Between lives, soul regression. That I find that whole idea so interesting. However, in reading your book, Your Soul's Love, I read things that I have never heard before, and there are things in here that I want you to go deep on, and we're going to do it right away. I mean, I told Gary I want to jump right into the deep end of this material, because there are a couple things in here you've said that were utterly fascinating and I've never heard before. And interestingly enough, they were in the premise, in the preface to the book, one of them. And I'm going to have you expand on this after I read one of the paragraphs, the second paragraph in the preface on page 14. You say, it is important to understand there is not just one truncated, linear, concretized life plan, a plan A, so to speak, for each person's life. There's a plan A, but there's also a plan B, C, D, E, and on. So many plans that full comprehension is beyond the capacity of the human brain. These additional plans are the soul's accounting for the many and various free will choices that can be made by the incarnate human. Each of us has free will, and it is our free will that makes the Earth School a truly meaningful experience. Without free will, we would be nothing more than automatons, in which case no true learning would occur or even be possible. This explains so much in my mind. We have heard in various ways that we all have more than one soulmate. If we have multiple soul plans, then I think that throws right out the window the idea that we're only supposed to be with one person in this universe. Say a little more about these multiple plans that we have from the other side.
So my wife is a channel, and she channels a group consciousness, a collective, that we affectionately call the Beings of Light, or BOL for short. And I'll share with your audience a metaphor that the BOL gave us to help us understand this idea. They say, imagine you have a stack of sheets of paper in front of you. So each individual sheet of paper represents a complete set of pre-birth plans. So every person has their own stack of sheets of paper. Now, each sheet varies according to vibration or frequency. The sheets at the top of the stack are the highest vibrational pre-birth plans. That's where most of the learning is done through love, peace, and joy, not so much through pain and suffering. The sheets at the bottom of the stack are the opposite of that. That's where most of the learning is done, through pain and suffering, not so much through love, peace, and joy. So again, every individual has their own stack. And the average person's vibration varies considerably. It bounces up and down all day long. And as your vibration goes up and down, you move up and down in that stack of sheets of paper. So this is the quantum explanation for having multiple pre-birth plans. And this is why free will is so important, because it determines which sheet you're on, which in turn determines the experience you're going to have. Now, what everybody wants, of course, is to be as high in their personal stack of sheets of paper as they can be. So how do you do that? Well, you raise your vibration. How do you do that? There are many ways, but the easiest rule of thumb to remember, I feel, is to ask yourself the following question. Anytime you have to make a decision, big or small, ask yourself, what would love, with a capital L, do now? What would love do now? Whatever the answer to that question is, do that. The more often you can do that, the more consistently you can do that, the more you will raise your vibration, you'll ascend up in your personal stack of sheets of paper, and much more of your learning on the earth plane will be through love, peace, and joy, much less through pain and suffering.
I love this idea that we get to make conscious choices even between lives. I could just imagine what one of those planning, actually I can't imagine. Apparently I've experienced it, if there's anything to this business of reincarnation, as I hope is the case. Between lives, we have planning sessions, and this to me implies the presence of guides, the presence of God saying, now next time around, this would be most helpful for your soul's evolution to do the following, to have this range of options. Am I getting at what you mean when you talk about pre-birth planning?
Yeah, that's a good synopsis. So we have these pre-birth planning sessions before we incarnate. And the pre-birth plan, as I understand it, is created by the soul, the higher self, in consultation with God, ascended masters, angels, spirit guides. And the soul sets down a certain, you could call them karmic themes or karmic tracks. These form the broad outline of the incarnation. These are the lessons, the things the soul wants to focus on and wants to learn while embodied. So once the pre-birth plan is formulated like that, the soul creates the personality, which is the portion of the soul's energy that's going to go into the physical body. And the soul and the guides then inform the personality of what the pre-birth plan consists of. Now, when that happens, as I understand it, the future person, the person who will be incarnating, feels this overwhelming unconditional love radiating from their higher self and from their guides. And that reassures them that the plan is for their highest good, and indeed the highest good of all beings. And so the vast majority of people agree to the plan immediately, and then they incarnate. But there's a small percentage who start to experience human emotions like fear and doubt, primarily fear or doubt that maybe they're taking on a little bit too much. If you express fear or doubt to your guides and higher self, then they reassure you in much greater detail as to why the plan is for your highest good and the highest good of all involved. At that point, the vast majority who express doubt now agree to the plan and they incarnate. But there's a small percentage of the percentage who express doubt who continue to express doubt. And if you do that, then the plan is amended until it's acceptable to you. So bottom line, nobody is forced to do anything that they don't want to do, and it's always with your own agreement.
That is just so complicated, Rob. I mean, you have to really wrap your mind around a lot of these concepts to really get them. When Gary and I were talking about your interview today, the example that I was giving him is that each of us, Gary and I have had significant romantic relationships in our lives. And it seems as though you could fulfill a life plan if, for example, each of us had stayed with our first loves. That would be one particular life plan, and it would have gone in a particular direction. And then something occurs in one or the other person where that's not going to work out. There's a choice made to leave that relationship by one or the other, and then you form a new relationship. That would seem to be, to me, to be a different plan. Well, what if I got together with this person for a long period of time? What if I married this person? If the people are pretty different, you're talking about pretty different life plans. And because there were a number of relationships before Gary and I got together, it seems to me there were a lot of paths that each one of us could have been on. And it would have been completely different lives for us. So if I understand this correctly, we're not automatons because there isn't just one life. There isn't just one soulmate. You have a vast array of people to spend many different types of lives with. Is that anywhere close to what you're talking about?
I would agree with you that there are many potential soulmates with whom you could form a lifelong romantic relationship. But I would disagree that it's going to be a very different form of learning. It will certainly look very different on the surface. You know, you may be in a different place, a different home, with somebody who's got a completely different personality than your previous partners. So on the surface, it's completely dissimilar. But what would most likely happen is that if you choose to leave a relationship or your partner chooses to leave, your guides and your higher self know what you're attempting to learn in this lifetime. And so they are going to work overtime, so to speak, to bring you to somebody else with whom you can learn the same lessons. Now, again, on the surface, the form will be very different. But the underlying content is likely to be much the same.
So you get a mix of personalities and individual experiences.
It may be the same lesson, even though you would be encountering that with different types of people. So
that's correct. And if for some reason your guides and higher self were not able to bring you somebody with whom you could work on the planned lessons, then what would most likely happen is they're going to create happenings in your life, circumstances in your life that are not necessarily part of a romantic relationship, but that give you the opportunity and the motivation to work on those same planned lessons.
Okay.
That does make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, I see myself, now this is a strange image, Rob, but I see my soul walking down a cereal aisle. Now I can choose cornflakes, I can choose Raisin Bran, I can choose Count Chocula, I can choose any number of cereals, because we know there's a virtually endless array of cereals, but the idea is to buy breakfast cereal to have that experience. And the variety contributes to the richness of life, but there is a central purpose involved.
That's exactly right. And I think that's a good analogy for understanding it. And the other piece to this that we haven't mentioned yet, it's my understanding that when the incarnate personality makes a major decision to go in a certain direction or not go in a certain direction, that generally spins off a parallel self in a parallel dimension who makes the other choice, whatever that might be. That will happen if experiencing the other choice is something that's important to your soul. So I asked Jesus in one of the channeling sessions, you know, how many parallel selves are there and how many parallel dimensions? And he said there are many. And we talked about it for a little while, but he concluded the conversation by saying, it's really best just to focus on your experience in your lifetime, because what we're talking about here is literally beyond the comprehension of the human brain.
Now that I have no trouble believing at all, because, you know, I look around and I say, oh my gosh, there is just so little that I know. When I look at my own life in its totality, I think I can count maybe somewhere between 3 and 5 significant crossroads, significant forks in the road where I had to either go left or right. And it's not an everyday thing. I mean, there are definitely major things that occurred where I had to go one way or the other. And these were really difficult choices to make. And I wonder, you know, how that affects your life plan when, you know, each option is going to present something for my soul's growth. And that kind of explains that, is that you may actually have gone and lived that other life. You're just not aware of it right now.
That's right. And to give a specific example, you've probably heard of Dolores Cannon, the hypnotist. She pioneered a particular form of hypnosis. She's back on the other side now. When she was in body, and she tells this story in one of her books, she used to astral travel quite a bit, and she was actually able to astral travel in her spirit body to a parallel dimension where she located her parallel self. And the most interesting thing about this experience to her was that here on our earth, her entire life had been devoted to spirituality, but the parallel self that she found in the parallel dimension was leading a life that has absolutely nothing on the surface to do with spirituality. That parallel self had no conscious interest in the spiritual world. So on the surface, leading a very, very different kind of life. And yet I would suggest that parallel self was working on learning the same underlying lessons.
That is completely fascinating.
Also, there's a remarkable consistency to anyone, to any soul that would decide, I am going to devote myself to this path. I don't want to wander off onto the byways or take the spurs in the great hike of life. I want to stay focused. I think that's how you wind up with a Mozart, a Bach, or a Da Vinci, for crying out loud, there, that someone is that dedicated to their soul's evolution, which is my term for what's going on. But I think that is why we have these remarkable people who live on throughout history.
Well, I would absolutely agree with that. And when you talk about people like Da Vinci or Mozart or many, many others, you know, what they really had, among other talents, was they had a burning desire in their heart to do something in particular, make some particular form of contribution to the world. And in my belief system, a burning desire of the heart like that is something that comes from God, from Source, and it's placed in your heart because it's consistent with your soul's pre-birth plans.
Well, it certainly makes sense to me. I do try to understand, Rob, there how it is that we have people leading these extraordinary lives. I mean, there was a soul that decided that in the start of the second half of the 19th century, I'll put it that way, there was a soul that decided that the world needed an Abraham Lincoln, that there were fundamental shifts in human destiny that could not occur otherwise. Somebody had to volunteer for that.
That's absolutely right. Yep.
Hmm. One of the things that you say that I like a lot has to do with the circuitous versus straight line soul evolution. This was something I had not heard about before. And one of the ways that you say that you can have a more direct experience of your soul's growth is if your soul and your personality are so closely aligned that you make those choices from love. But when your personality and your soul are not so aligned, it seems as though you're making a lot of mistakes. And in your book, you say that's not true. What is it about that our mistakes that we make or think that we're making?
Well, the soul wouldn't look at what we call a mistake as a mistake. The soul would consider that it was perhaps not the most direct route to learning the underlying lessons or being of service in the ways that were planned prior to birth. But the soul has no judgment ever of the incarnate personality. So the soul wouldn't look at it as a mistake. Now, here on the earth plane, at the level of the personality, we have these kinds of judgments. We look at certain choices as right or wrong, certain paths as good or bad. But the soul does not look at it that way. And actually, if you don't do what you came here to do and you don't learn what you came here to learn, and the lifetime comes to an end, when you get back to the other side, your soul has no judgment at all of the fact that you didn't complete the life lessons. What the soul feels in that case is a sense of incompletion. But there's no judgment associated with this sense of incompletion. And the soul's attitude would be, we didn't do everything we went there to do, so let's pick up where we left off in another incarnation. But all it is a recognition of incompletion.
Reminds me of taking an incomplete in college because you didn't get your term paper done on time. Yeah. So you have a second chance there. And that's a good thing, Rob, because if we want to keep working on it for whatever reason, it sounds to me like what you're saying or the implications of part of your work, your mission in life, is to indicate to people that we do get these second chances and third and fourth, dot, dot, dot. Reincarnation is about soul ecology, as far as I can tell. And if we want to keep working on some aspect of our soul's nature or character, we're given opportunities, however many, they might be endless, I don't know, but we're given these opportunities to do exactly that.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's why I think it's important for people not to judge themselves and really not to go too far overboard in assessing their own spiritual progress. The mind, it doesn't really have any way of knowing, you know, unless you do something like between lives regression, it doesn't really have any way of knowing what the life plan is or how well you're doing in fulfilling it. So you can get some sense of that by through your intuition and through the feelings of love, peace, and joy that are generated by your decisions or the lack thereof. Some other indicators are just interest, excitement. You know, interest and excitement are mundane terms, and we don't think about them in regard to the soul. But we could ask the question, why do certain things excite us and not others? We could ask the question, where does interest come from? Interest and excitement are communications from your soul saying, yes, this is the way for you.
Our honored guest of the hour is Robert Schwartz, author of Your Soul's Love, Living the Love You Planned Before You Were Born. Weighty material, always worth considering, especially for a metaphysical crowd like us. Give us a couple of minutes. We will be right back. We're Manson Mitchell, and we're sure glad that you tuned in.
Hi, everybody. This is Anson Williams from Happy Days, and I'm so excited to tell you about American Road. It is the best car travel magazine in the world. They have the most fantastic adventures detailed in each magazine with all your itinerary. We could just jump in the car with your family and have the most fabulous adventures you've ever had in your life. Please get a copy of American Road and start your own adventure.
Staying connected with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell is easy. Just go to manceandmitchell.com for the latest info on topics and guests. Friend Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on their Facebook pages and like the Mance and Mitchell show page at facebook.com/Mance and Mitchell. If you're on Twitter, share a follow with Gary and Suzanne at Mance Mitchell. Join Gary and Suzanne Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for an unusual show that covers everything from personal growth to the paranormal.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual novelty act.
The home of the A-Team of Alternative Talk is manceandmitchell.com. Heard right here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m. or streaming live from your computer anywhere.
Terry Loving wants to help you with your online marketing challenges right now. She has several courses she is giving away to help you get your business working for you online. Yes, giving away. WordPress websites are her specialty, yet her technical skills go way beyond that. Check out her blog at terryloving.com or email her directly at terry@terryloving.com. That's terry@terryloving.com.
I'm Gary Mance.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
We're a couple of baby boomers who bring you a talk radio mix of metaphysics and music, politics, and pop culture.
And you never know which celebrity will join us for an interesting conversation.
Mance and Mitchell is Boomer HQ, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on 1150 AM KKNW.
Your home for alternative talk in Seattle and Western Washington.
Talk radio for the heart and soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Mance and Mitchell and our guest this hour, Robert Schwartz, the author of several books, a trilogy, I would imagine. We'll have to ask him if there's a fourth one on the topic or not. But if people want to connect with you and get your books about your soul's plan, your soul's gift, your soul's love, where's the best place for them to do that, Rob? And maybe your website, any social media, anything that you have going on that you could invite our listeners to check out.
Sure. Well, all three books are on Amazon, of course, but you can also get them in the store at my website, which is yoursoulsplan.com. And for those who go there, I would invite you to sign up for the newsletter. That will keep you posted on everything we're doing. If you go to the events page, you'll see that we have a large number of online workshops going on all year long, including group Between Lives Soul Regressions, where you can find out about your plans for this lifetime. If you're interested in the Between Lives Regression as a private session, click on Sessions in the main menu. There's a one-hour video on that page of a private Between Lives Soul Regression, so you can see exactly what it consists of. And if anybody has questions about pre-birth planning, just go to the contact form and send them to me. I read and respond to all the email.
Excellent. Excellent. Yoursoulsplan.com is the place to go for all the information. You have these five chapters and five really fascinating stories where you go into great depth about the romantic relationships and the soul's plan about those relationships. And it doesn't look like butterflies, unicorns, and rainbows when your topics are infidelity, impotence, parenting when one of the parents is deceased, being single or celibate relationships. It goes very deep into why you would have that in your life. And I think it's definitely worth reading about in your soul's love as to why things are the way they are in your life if you are wondering about that. The one of the things that just caught my eye from your chapters it applied anywhere. And you were saying defense requires a focus on attack and therefore calls attack to us. And I said to Gary, it doesn't matter what the topic is if you have a coin with a heads and a tails. You've got the light side, you've got the dark side. The sides don't necessarily see each other. But if you are talking about learning about prosperity, you the other side of the coin is lack. If you're learning about relationships and love, the other side might have to do with apathy or hate. Say a little bit about learning by opposites and how that seems to work in our lifetimes.
So many, many people have what I call a learning through opposites, a set of life plans. And basically the way that works, when you're deciding before you're born what you're going to learn, and let's say that your pre-birth intention is to deepen in compassion, which is a common pre-birth intention at this time. So what you would be likely to do, for example, would be to plan to be born into a nuclear family that will treat you with a profound lack of compassion. From a pre-birth planning perspective, you view that lack of compassion in the external environment as providing both the opportunity and the motivation to go within, where your soul hopes that over time you will cultivate self-compassion. And then the second half of the Learning Through Opposites life plan is that you take the quality, or I call them divine virtues, you take the quality or qualities that you've been cultivating, like compassion, and then turn them outward in service to others. So this is very much, for example, what my pre-birth plan is like. My mother has significant mental health issues, was extremely abusive to me the first 16 years of my life, and it had the intended effect. It provided the opportunity and the motivation for me to go within, cultivate self-compassion, and now I'm in the second half of that life plan where I take the compassion I cultivated for myself, and I would like to believe I'm offering that to my readers and to my clients.
It seems, Rob, like a pretty steep price to pay. The tuition for that education, for your soul's education, that was pretty high.
It was very high. And this is why I've come to the conclusion that while we're here in body, particularly if the mind, the egoic mind, continues to be the primary operating system, under those circumstances, I'm not sure that we are ever going to fully understand pre-birth planning. The reason I say that is pre-birth plans are not made, they're not put in place by the ego mind. When we're back on the other side planning a life, those decisions are made by the heart. And the heart wants one thing and one thing only, and that is to give and receive love fully and freely. So the ego mind would never plan the Learning Through Opposites experience that I had as a child. It would never make sense to the ego mind. But the heart, which just wants to learn to give and receive love fully and freely, the heart would do that. So let's take a different kind of example. Let's talk about the death of a child. Let's say that you are back on the other side, and a soul that you know very, very well, you've worked with in multiple past incarnations, and with whom you've established a tremendous amount of mutual love and trust. This soul comes to you before either of you is born and says, I'm planning a very short incarnation on Earth for this reason and that reason. Would you agree to be the mother or the father who shepherds me through that very short lifetime? Well, if the ego mind were making that decision, the answer would be no. But the heart, which just wants to love, the heart is going to give, most likely, an immediate yes. Yes is, I love you dearly, and if that is what you want and need from me, then I will be happy and honored to play that role for you. The other piece of this is that when you're back on the other side planning an incarnation, you're very much aware that a lifetime on Earth is extremely brief. Nobody is permanently harmed by anything that happens here, and yet the wisdom that comes out of it will be part of you literally for all eternity. So from that perspective, that incarnation is quite brief, no one is permanently harmed, the wisdom becomes part of you for eternity. From that perspective, it does make sense that some souls, not all, but some, would plan very, very difficult challenges.
That is a good context. That helps it make sense.
One of the things that you wrote at the very end of your book in the epilogue that intrigued me was that, and we have had many, many guests who have said, Earth school is hard. Earth school is tough. But you say that if you have been to Earth, that there is a signature which stays with you even if you are incarnating in other places.
And that's,
and it marks you.
I think of somebody walking through a shopping mall wearing a sweatshirt bearing the logo and the name of their alma mater.
But it is kind of like that in a way. You're referring to what is called a person's energy signature.
Yes.
Which consists of the combination of somebody's unique color and unique sound. Your energy signature is how other beings in the non-physical identify you when you're in the non-physical. Now, everybody has an energy signature, whether they've ever incarnated on Earth or not. But it's my understanding that once you've incarnated on Earth, that shows up. It's sort of like a bolt of luminous light in your energy signature. And so, you know, when this lifetime is over, as the people listening to our conversation travel around the universe doing whatever it is they choose to do next, other beings will see in their energy signature that they were on Earth. And their reaction, as I understand it, is something along the lines of, "You went to Earth? Oh." And they're very, very impressed because they know that this is one of the most difficult schools of all.
And a reason for us to be gentle with ourselves, right?
Gentle and also respectful and honoring. Because the fact that you are on Earth in a physical body, that automatically places you among the most courageous beings in the entire universe. And so I always tell people, honor yourselves for being among the most courageous beings in the universe. And also honor everybody else, whether you like them or not, because they too are among the most courageous beings in the universe.
Rob, have you done work or received messages from the various people you've worked with who do this professionally and profoundly? Have you worked with anyone who has said to you, you know, there are planets where it's a lot easier. There are planets where an incarnation is like going on vacation.
Oh, yes, that has come up many times. You know, the universe is infinite, and everything we can think of is out there somewhere, and many, many things that we can't think of are out there somewhere, too. So there are many places you can go if you would like to have sort of a vacation experience of form, of physicality. You know, one of the channeled sources in my second and third books is an ascended master named Aaron. And Aaron is fond of saying, quote, "You do not come into the earth incarnation for comfort or convenience." And that is most certainly true. If you want a vacation experience of physicality, you don't come to Earth usually. There are many other places for that. You come here to evolve, to heal, to expand, to learn and grow. You're not looking for comfort or convenience. This is not the place for that.
Good to know. Good to know.
Vacation planets. When the new generation shows up overhead.
The Florida of the universe.
Club Soul. And I'm just hearing, the plane.
Rob, I have had a past life regression done more than once where I've actually seen another lifetime. I've looked at it. It's been very real to me, and I've had some, visions about at least two or three other lives, maybe more. But I have not had a between lives soul regression. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
So, between lives soul regression, the form of hypnosis I specialize in, it's a long session. It takes about 2 hours. You can do it either as part of a group in one of our many online workshops or as a private session. It starts with some preliminary steps to help you relax physically and mentally. And then I guide you into a past life. It's almost always a past life that had a big impact on the plans for the current lifetime. You experience several different scenes in the past life, the last of which is the death scene. The part of your consciousness that is having this experience leaves the body in the death scene and crosses back over to the other side, which I realize might sound a little bit ominous, but there's actually nothing to it. It's very easy and gentle. When you get back to the other side, most likely you'll be greeted by a spirit guide, although it could be a loved one, an angel, an ascended master. You talk briefly with whoever greets you about why you were shown that particular past life, how it's related to the plans for your current lifetime, and anything else that's important about the past life for you to know or understand. And then you ask your guide or whoever you're talking with to take you to what is called your Council of Elders. Your council consists of the very wise, loving, and highly evolved beings who oversee your personal evolution. So these beings know literally everything about you, everything about the plans for the current lifetime, everything about every past life you've had on Earth, every other incarnation you've had on any other planet, and any non-physical lifetime you've had as well. When you get to the council, you have the opportunity to ask literally any question about any aspect of your life or any other subject. Most people ask questions along the lines of, what did I plan for this lifetime? Why did I make those plans? How am I doing? And how can I do better? You can ask about any significant challenge you've had. Why did it happen? What are the lessons? Any relationship you'd like to ask about? People ask questions like, what are their gifts that they brought here in service to Earth, and how can they activate their gifts? If you're having any health issues of any kind, you can ask why those are happening and how to respond to them. Then people ask, you know, interesting metaphysical questions like, what is my role when I'm home on the other side? So any question that you can think of, the council is happy to answer, as long as it's for your highest good to know the answer. When people do these between lives regressions, they often comment on two things in particular. One is the incredible unconditional love they feel their council has for them. And the other is the total non-judgment of the council. So people often say things like, I could tell that my council knew about all the bad things I've done in this lifetime, and yet they loved me completely, unconditionally anyway. And, you know, for many people, this is actually their first experience of true unconditional love since they came into body. They haven't yet experienced that in the incarnation. And when they experience that with their council, it's profoundly healing. And really, it's a homecoming of different sorts. So that's the gist of the between lives regression. And then you take that wisdom that your council has given to you, apply it in your life going forward. And it can really be deeply healing and make a profound difference on your trajectory.
There was someone that we interviewed one time that said, when you heal something in this lifetime, a large event, that you heal it for all your lifetimes. Does that ring true for you?
Well, there is certainly a quantum aspect to healing. Thich Nhat Hanh used to say that we are not individuals, we are streams. And what he meant was that the stream consists of upstream are your ancestors, those who have come before you in your family lineage, and then downstream are those who will come in the future in linear time in your family lineage. And healing occurs both upstream and downstream. And then it also occurs in quantum ways across dimensions. You know, there's a story in my second book, Your Soul's Gift, about a woman who for decades experiences a very unusual form of psychosis in which when she's asleep at night, let's say she has a nightmare in which a monster is attacking her, when she would wake up in the morning, she would see the monster in her bedroom. Of course, it wasn't actually there, but it appeared to her as though it were. Well, this was utterly terrifying, and it completely disrupted her life for decades. We spoke with Jesus about this in one of the channeling sessions and said, what is going on here? And the gist of it was that she was healing unhealed energies on the parts of parallel selves in parallel dimensions. They weren't able to do that on their own. So these energies were flowing into her, and they were expressing in this odd form of psychosis that she was experiencing. But by living that and eventually healing that, which she did, she was bringing healing not just to herself, but all these parallel selves in parallel dimensions.
That's exactly what I heard. That I find that interesting. Have you yourself experienced past lives regression where you have seen other lives that you've had?
You know, I have not undertaken past life regression by itself. My specialty is the between lives regression. Now,
right.
I did do that myself when I took the training many years ago. And this was a very interesting experience because, as I said, there is a past life portion to the between lives regression.
Right.
And the way you get into the past life using this particular hypnotic induction is that you go through a tunnel and then you come out the end of the tunnel and you merge into the light. And at that point, you're supposed to start seeing or in some other way obtaining information about a past life. So another student who was taking the training was facilitating this process for me. We were doing it in a hotel room, and there were a number of people seated in chairs around the room, other students and instructors and so forth who were observing this practice session. So I go through the tunnel, I come out into the light, and then that's all I saw. There's just a whole lot of bright light. I didn't see any past life scenes. I didn't see the Council of Elders. All I saw was light. And then at that point, the session came to an end. And I was mystified by this, and I told everybody in the room what had just happened. And I said, I don't understand. What was all this light that I saw? Well, it turns out one of the people witnessing this had clairvoyant abilities. And she said, I know what happened there. May I tell you? And I said, yes, please. He said, well, when you were at the part where you were emerging from the tunnel into the light, what I saw here in the hotel room is that your spirit guides had formed a ring around the bed, and they were all beaming light toward you. That's why you were surrounded by this brilliant white light. So I didn't actually get to see a past life, but I had another experience that was much more profound than I understood at the moment that it happened.
Thank you. I asked the question because I know that there are people who are interested in their past lives. And it seems to me, if you look at one or two or five or 10 different lives that you've had, you need to figure it out yourself. Whereas if you do a between lives soul regression, you're actually looking at the plan. And so yeah, you don't have to figure it out.
Well, that's a very good way to put it. The council knows about all of your past lives. And the average person who's drawn to doing a between-life soul regression is an old soul. So they've probably had, at a minimum, dozens of incarnations on Earth, and more likely several hundred. You don't want to have to do several hundred past life regressions if you don't have to. That'd be very time-consuming, very expensive, and would leave you with a lot to piece together. It's much more efficient to just go to the council and say, what have I been working on here in the Earth School, and where am I in the trajectory, in the arc? And they'll tell you, and then they can lay out the next steps for you.
It seems to be very efficient to me. Rob, thank you. Thank you so much for talking with us today. I want to make sure we give out your contact information one more time.
And one more time, upcoming opportunities to work with you.
Right. So you can be reached at yoursoulsplan.com. And on your website, you have links to upcoming things that people can sign up and get involved with if they want to do that, correct?
That's right. And I'll just mention one other upcoming offering. Starting next week, we have a new 7-week course with the SHIFT Network, a live online course for empaths and sensitives. My wife is an empath, and she has channeled a tremendous amount of very healing and helpful information from the beings of light about what it means to be an empath, what it means to be a sensitive, how does somebody with those gifts acclimate to being on Earth, which can feel very harsh to those who have those gifts. So we'll be doing a whole course through the SHIFT Network about that, and those links are on the website too.
Thank you, Robert Schwartz, author of Your Soul's Love, Living the Love You Planned Before You Were Born. Thank you, sir, for joining us. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We hope this marks the start of your great weekend.